Today's Shir Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, four lines from the top of the Amud. It says the Mishnah, Masna Shem Echinam is Potter Meshvua. Even though, as we learned in our previous Shir, the halachi is that Shem Echinam, if he's not able to return what he was asked to watch, he has to make a Shvua. So he can make a stipulation as he begins becoming a shliach that he won't have to swear if something happens. What about discuss the Rishonim? Can a shemichinam make a stipulation that he should not be responsible at all if there were a pshia? Can he make such a stipulation? And there's a machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim suggest that he can. And that the only reason the Mishnah did not mention that case, that a Shem Echinam can make such a stipulation, because it's highly unlikely, highly unusual, that somebody should make a Shvua that he should not be chayiv for pshia, should not be chayiv for negligence. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonason. Whereas the opinion of Dagos Ashri is that he can't make such a type of situation, because somebody who makes that stipulation, so I saw two different explanations why it's not an acceptable stipulation. The Maram Shik says that the whole point of being a shomer is to watch what you're watching properly, and if you're not going to be held responsible for pshia, for negligence, then you're just not a shomer, and therefore such a stipulation is invalid. And the other pshat that I saw is that somebody who doesn't properly watch what he's watching, then there's a whole different level of obligation to such an individual. And such an individual is actually called a mazik. And since such an individual is called a mazik, that's why such a stipulation would not be valid. So again, Master Shem Echinam, a Shem Echinam can make a stipulation, he is potter mishvua, to be potter from a shvua if there was a pshia. Shoyl can make a stipulation, he is potter moshalim. We've learned that a shoyl is chayiv for oinsim and for gneva and aveda. They can make a stipulation that they should not be held responsible. And a nice sochav ha-shoycher, a shem sochar, and a soycher can make stipulations, Lis Pturim and Shvua, to be potter from a Shvua if there was an oinus, or Melashalim, or to be exempt from having to have to pay if there was a Geneva Vaveda. But now teaches us the Mishnah. Kol Masna Masha Kosova Torah, anybody who makes a stipulation contrary to what it says in the Torah, to know a bottle, the Gemara is going to explain why such a stipulation is not considered halachically, why such a stipulation is not considered halachically binding. Next halacha, the kol tanai sheyesh maisa b'tchilasai. So the way Rashi explains that the Mishnah is now explaining to us halachas in tanoim, halachas in conditions. And as we know, the Gemara often teaches us that the source for learning that conditions have halachic validity is from the Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made with Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, when he was willing to give them their portion on the Eivar HaYarden, but he stipulated that that would only be valid if they would go out in battle to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And we learn all Hilchos Tanoim, or many Hilchos Tanoim, are learned from that episode. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, first mentioned the stipulation, Im Yavru b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven kol chalutz l'mechama, if they will do what they're supposed to do and go out to battle for Eretz Yisrael, then v'nosati l'mes eretz agila l'chuza. So the stipulation was mentioned first. And actually, we find the same with Yaakov Avinu in Lavan, where he says, Yaakov Avinu said, Im tas li sadav azeh, Again, the Tanai was mentioned before the Maisa. The Rambam has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that what the Gemara means to say is that if somebody did something, for example the Rambam uses, if somebody is Mekadosh, a woman, and he says to her, Hare at Mekadosh Asli, so she becomes his wife. And after he says, Hare at Mekadosh Asli, then he adds a stipulation. The halacha is that is not considered, that is not a valid stipulation. The stipulation has to be stated before the fact. So again, says the Mishnah of a Kol Tanai Sheyesh Bei Maisa B'Tchilosoi Tana Batal. The Kol She'ef Shelo L'Kayim B'Sofei, that if somebody was able to fulfill the Tanai, V'Hisna, and then not only that, but he said the stipulation properly, then Tana Kayim, the stipulation is binding. Ask the Gemara that the Mishnah says that a shomer chinam can make a stipulation that he should not be chayef for pshia. But ask the Gemara, why would that be acceptable? Why is this not considered masta mashakos b'tayra? And as we know, the halacha is the ka masta mashakos b'tayra. If somebody makes a stipulation contrary to what the Torah teaches us, the halacha is that tanah bottle. Answers the Gemara, hamani, who is the tanavah mishnah? Says the Gemara of Yehuda, it represents the opinion of Yehuda. The Omar, he says, B'davish b'mamon, when it's involving a financial matter, the halacha is tanah koyim, that the stipulation is valid. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Ha'im al-Isha, every husband that gets married to a wife, the Torah obligates him in she'er k'sus v'oina. She'er is to support her, to give her mezainus, to give her to eat. Ksus is clothing, and oina is to have relationships. And there's actually machloikus rishonim, if these obligations are medaraisa, the opinion of the Rambam and the Chinuch is that they're chiv medaraisa, and the other rishonim, the opinion of the Ramban, that they're not medaraisa, the chiv is only beer to have relations, mezoinus and ksus are only medarabonan. The opinion of the Magen Mishnah is that mezoinus is midrabanan and clothing is midaraisa. So it teaches us the Braisa. Ha'im al-Isha, somebody marries a woman and he stipulates, Hare at mekadeshes li'amash she'en li'chalai she'er k'sus v'oina, that I should not be obligated in these requirements. The halach is Hare is mekadeshes. The kedushin is a valid kedushin, but not bottle, divrei meya. That is the opinion of the Remeya. So the Rishonim ask a question. Yes, this Tanai is not a valid Tanai, because as we're learning, it's Masna Amashikos B'Toira. But it's very clear that this person was only prepared to get married based with this requirement. So if we can't let him get married with this requirement, so the Halacha should ask Taisus that they should not be able to be married at all. Why are we just ignoring the Tanai and saying that they're married? We should say everything here is a mekachtos. So Taisus answers that the whole concept that Tanai is valid, is we take it for granted. But Taisus says it should not be taken for granted. It's a special chiddush. It's a special chiddush that we learn, as we mentioned a few moments ago, from the Tanai of Bnei God of Bnei Ruvein. And what that teaches us is that where the Tanai is a good Tanai, so we follow it. But when the Tanai is not done as a Tanai should be done with the halachas of Tanoim, what that means to say is that nothing happened here. And therefore all we're left here is with an act of Kedushin. Divrei Remeya. That's the opinion of Remeya. Yehuda Omer, B'davish B'mamon, If somebody makes a stipulation about something that's financial, Tanai Kayim. And therefore, the way Rashi and the Rambam learned the Gemara, the stipulation that he made that I should not be obligated in Sher V'Ksus, which are financial matters, can be valid. And that the condition, however, regarding Oina, which is not financial, that would not be valid. So we see from here that it's Yehuda's opinion that you can make a Tanai, B'davish B'mamin, even though it's contrary to what the Torah said. Ask the Gemara, or me, Mitzvah Smukbalak Rabbi Yehuda, can we explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Eima Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kala Masna Mashakosu B'Torah, Tanah Bottle. That whoever makes a Tanai against what it says, the Torah, it's null and void. Asan L'Rameya, isn't that following the opinion of Rameya? So how are we able to explain the Mishnah this way? Answers the Gemara, Halai Kasha, Lai La Rabbi Yehuda. We're still able to explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Sefer, when the Mishnah speaks about that the Tanai is, that if the Tanai is contrary to what it says in the Torah, the Tanai is bottle, that's because B'davish Enish L'Mamin. In other words, the Mishnah is differentiating between a stipulation that's made by a financial matter, which is acceptable, even if it's against what the Torah says, versus when it's a Tanai about something which is not a financial matter. Ask the Gemara, Eima Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Tanai Sheyesh by Maisa B'Tchilasai, any Tanai where you first spoke about what you're doing and then you said the Tanai, the halacha is Tanai bottle. As we explained, because again, that's not the type of Tanai, that doesn't follow the rules of Tanoim that Moshe Rabbeinu established with Bnei Gadim Nei Reuven. Ask the Gemara, man shamat like this, like hey Svara, who's the man Dama that says that that Tanai is not a valid Tanai? Says the Gemara, Rameyer. It's the opinion of Rameyer, the Tanya, Abba Chalifta Ishkva Chananya Am Mishra Rameya. Tanai Koyim La Maisa Hareza Tanai. Maisa Koyim La Tanai Eina Tanai. So we see that the Tana is of the Mishnah's Rameya, not Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Ritva, why must we say so? Why can't we say that Rabbi Yehuda in this question agrees with Rameya? And he agrees that a Tanai that comes after the Maisa is not a valid Tanai. So explains the Ritva. One of the other important halachas that Rameya teaches us in Hilchos Tanoim is that the Tanai to be a valid Tanai has to be a Tanai Kofel. You have to say both sides of the condition. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So the Gemara is assuming, says the Ritva, that just like Rabbi Yehuda disagrees regarding a Tanai Kofel, he also disagrees in this halacha as well. The other pshat that the Ritva suggests is that throughout Shas, when we see a machlokes Rameyer and the Chachamim, and we don't know, and the name of the Chachamim is not mentioned explicitly, the one that always argued Rameyer is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is assuming that here too, who's the one that's disagreeing with Rameyer? The one that's disagreeing with Rameyer is Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Gemara is saying, how can we say our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? And therefore, says the Gemara, Ella, what we must say is, Kula Rameyi. The Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameyer. The Shani Hachop, here it's different, the Mikora L'Mishabed Nafshei. That even though Rameyer holds the Kala Masna Mashakos B'Torah, that if somebody makes the Tanai contrary to what it says in the Torah, Tanai bottle, it's null and void, here it's different. And Rashi explains that here, that before he accepted the Bikadon, before he accepted to be a Shomer, he said that this is the terms on which I'm going to be a Shomer. So since he structured the Shmira that way, that's why it's acceptable. Others say, the Ben Hananel, Ramban explained that nobody is obligated to be a Shomer. If somebody doesn't want to be a Shomer, he doesn't have to be a Shomer. So if he's agreeing to be a Shomer, then he has to follow, he could set the terms. Whereas by Kedushin, it's not for us to set the terms of Kedushin. The Torah sets the terms of the Kedushin. Once the Torah set the terms of Kedushin, if I want to be Mekudesh, then it has to be according to the way the Torah says it. The Ravid has a different approach. His approach is that, as we've been learning, the Torah designates a number of different types of Shomerim. Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher, Shoyel, Soicher. What is the Torah teaching us with that? Says the Ravid, that there are different variations of Shmira. So in our Mishnah, when there were stipulations attached, so we created more different types of Shmirim, which is totally acceptable. Tysus says a different pshat. Tysus says, as we learn through the sugyas of Shmirim, so the Gemara often explains why different Shmirim have different levels of responsibility. And the explanation is fairly simple, because the more benefit I get, then the more I should be held responsible. That's why the Gemara keeps on saying a shoyel, somebody who borrows something, where it's kol hanor shaloi, that he gets all the benefit, he has the highest level of responsibility. He has the higher level of responsibility. But if he says up front that I'm not ready to take, even that I'm not getting that much benefit, that it should require that I should take on that level of responsibility, he has every right. The Ritva has another approach. He says, where the Torah stipulates how, where the Torah says something that you have to do, you have to do, the Torah says by Kedushin, we mentioned earlier, Sherek Sus V'Oina. So the Torah says, Lo Yigra, you can't deprive your wife of those obligations. Or when we spoke about earlier in Amasechta, I know. And the Torah says it clearly, Lo Soinu, you have to, you're not Al Tainu, you're not allowed to cheat. Lo Yigosh, by Shmita, the Torah says, you're not allowed to ask for a loan. So the Torah clearly says, what the Torah means to say is, you can't make any stipulations contrary to what I said. Whereas here, by Shmirim, the Torah doesn't use such strong wording. The fact that the Torah doesn't use such strong wording is an indication that stipulations are permissible. Says the Gemara Tana, the Braisa says, Master Shem Mechinam, Master Shem Mesocher, Hashem Mesocher could agree, Lias Kishoyel, to be treated like a Shoyel. Asked the Gemara B'mai, what does that mean? B'tvarim, he could say it with just accepting it, just saying that I'm going to be responsible. Asked the Gemara B'mai, B'tvarim, is that adequate? So the Rishonim ask that we just finished learning that you can make a Tanai and you won't be obligated in all of the halachos of Shmirim. So why can't you make this Tanai as well? So the Rashba and the Ritva answer, there's a difference when you're coming to exempt yourself versus when you're coming to obligate yourself. The Tanai that we began our shiur with today represents an exemption. In an exemption, you have a right to take such an approach. But when it comes to obligating yourself, that the Shoyim HaSachar is saying that I should be treated like a Shoyil, that you can't do. So says the Gemara, without Amr Shmuel, Shekonim B'yodah, where Kenya was affected. Rabbi Yochan Amr, I feel Tehmer Shloi Konim B'yodah. There's no requirement for a Kenyan. By he and no, the Karnofik Le'kola, the person makes a stipulation, Dinish Mehem Nehu, that he is such a reliable person that he's even willing to take upon himself Ainsim, Gama Meshabed Nafshin. And the way I believe we should understand this Gemara is, as we often say in our Shiurim, what is the purpose of a Kenyan? Why does the Torah always speak about a Kenyan? And we often explain, because the point of a Kenyan is to show a seriousness of an intent. And that is demonstrated with a Kenyan. The fact that this person will be now understood to be such a reliable person that he's willing to take this extra responsibility himself accomplishes what a Kenyan accomplishes, that there's a seriousness here. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, the Kosh Efshel Kaima B'Soifai, any Tanai that could ultimately be fulfilled, that is considered a valid Tanai. Amr of Tavla Marav, Divrei Rav Yehuda Ben Tevahim. What we just learned is the opinion of Yehuda Ben Tema, even though he can't fulfill this obligation, the Tanai is a valid Tanai. The Tanai, the Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, if somebody says, a husband says to the wife, I'm giving you a get with the stipulation that you have to be ready to go up to the sky. Amnasha Teira L'Toyma, you could go all the way down to the bottom of the world. Amnasha Tivli Kona Shamea Amma, or that you'll swallow a pole that's 100 Amma long. Amnasha Tavriya Siyama Gadl Baraglech, or you walk through the Yamagodl, in the sky Matanai, if the Tanai was fulfilled, Hareza Get. Loi Neskai Matanai, but if the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, since the Get was connected to this Tanai, the Loch is in a Get that's not considered divorced. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Kazeh Get. That even if the Tanai was not fulfilled, the Get will be a good Get. Because, says the Gemara, Klal Omer of Yehuda ben Tema, Kol Sheyefshal El Kaim B'Soifei, if somebody makes a stipulation that's impossible to fulfill, even though he made the Tanai before he said the Maisa, which we're learning in our shiur today, that makes the Tanai into a good Tanai. Here, it's going to be ignored because we're going to look at it as Ein Ela K'Mafligah, he's just teasing her, the kosher, and the get will be a good get even without the Tanai being fulfilled. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Halak Rav Yehuda ben Tema, that any Tanai that is impossible to fulfill, the Tanai is ignored, and the Maisa is stands. Aram Nachum Yitzchak, Masnesa Nami Deka. Yes, from the Mishnah, we can learn that this is correct. The Tani, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Shef Shalakayim B'Soy Fes No B'Tchanasoy, any Tanai that can be fulfilled, Tanor Koyim. Ha Yef Shalay Lakayimai, but if it's a Tanai that cannot be fulfilled, Tanor Bottle, the Tanai is null and void. Shema Mino. Daruga Sabaisim quotes a very interesting medrash. The medrash says, as Klal Yisrael were going through the Yamsuf, the pasuk Kriyas Yamsuf, the pasuk says, Krayom Ra V'Yonis. And what says the medrash? Ma Ra. What did the sea see that it should split? Braisad Rabbi Shmuel. What does that mean? So he explains, the pasuk says, after Kriyas Yamsuf, Rashi says, Le'sonai means L'tanai Rishit, to original stipulation, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a Tanai when he created the world, that the sea would split for Klal Yisrael. So the question is that the world was already created. And the halacha is that you have to have Tanai Kodin L'maisa. But here, if the sea was already created, so as we're learning in our shiur, if it's Maisa Koidim L'Tanai, it's not a valid Tanai. So why was the ocean, the sea, obligated to fulfill the stipulation? Says the Aruga Sabraisim, the Pasuk says, Yoim Hashishi. And what is the Hey Yoim Hashishi? So Rashi says in Parashas Bereishis, Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a stipulation with the Masa Bereishis, Amanas Shekabu Yisrael Satorah, that the Klal Yisrael have to accept the Torah. And that's what says Hashishi. So that goes to Shishi B'Sivan, the day of Kabbalah Satorah. So how do we know that? Because it's a Gzeirah Shavah Hashishi V'Shishi. So if that's the case, the Tanai came before the Maisa. So if that's the case, but how do we know that? Based on the Gzeirah Shavah. From where do we learn that Gzeirah Shavah is a valid type of limud? From the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel. So that's why it saw the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel. It saw the Gzeirah Shavah Shishi Shishi, and that's why the Tanai was a Tanai it had to fulfill. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Es HaBrocha Asher Tishmon V'Klola Imloi Tishmon. And the Sefer Imrei Eish asks, why by the Brocha does the Torah use the word Asher, and by the Klola does the Torah use the word Im? So Rashi says, Asher Tishmon, Amanasha Tishmon. So he explains that we just learned that you always have to have Tanai Koidim L'maisa. But the halacha is that when you say Amanas, it's as if you said it before. So that's why the Rashi says, Asher Tishmon, Amanas, that it's a Manas, and therefore by Manas, you don't have to have all the halachas of Tanoim. So even though the Tmaisa, the Brocha, comes first, it's still considered a valid Tanai, because the halacha by Tanai that is stated, he says, with the words Amanas, doesn't have these different halachas that we're learning. Hanu lachasoichas apalim, Says the Mishnah Shoyel Paro, if somebody borrows a cow, and Shor Bali Ima, and now the Mishnah teaches us the halacha of Bolav Imai, and says the Gemara that if somebody borrowed a cow, and at the same time that he borrowed the cow, he also is working with the owner of the cow, whether he asked the owner to work for him, or he hired that worker, Shala Balam Asachram, or he first borrowed the owner or rented them, and only afterwards, Vachach Shal Sapara, then he borrows the cow, Potter. In all these cases, if something will happen, Vachach Shal Parva Mesa, if something will happen to the para, as we just indicated, the para dies. And we know, as we've been learning, that under normal circumstances, a shoyl is chayiv. Here, he won't be chayiv. Shenemar, because the Torah Kedoshah says, v'chiyishal ish me'im re'eyu v'nishba o'meis, im ba'olav imoy lo yishalim. The Torah teaches us a new halacha of ba'olav imoy. Avos sholos ha'para, but let's say they did not come at the same time. Rather, sholos ha'para v'achkach sholos ba'olam ha'sachram, v'meisa, chayiv. Shenemar, because there the Torah says, ba'al of ein imoy, if you don't have the heter ba'al of imoy, then the halacha is shalom yishalim. So here the Torah Kedoshah, the Mishnah teaches us that there's a new halacha of ba'al of imoy. And the Rishonim try to explain why. So the Chinuch's approach is that if the owner is with him, so the expectation is that if even though I borrowed something that belongs to you, since the owner is there, the expectation is that the owner is going to take care of it and the owner is going to watch whatever I borrowed. And therefore, I don't have the obligation. The owner has retained that obligation to watch and take care of what belongs to him. The Sfarn explains that when we have this type of relationship, explains the Sfarna, that not only am I borrowing your objects, but I'm also borrowing you or hiring you, that represents that there's a very strong bond between I and you. And since there's such a strong bond, it's sort of what we connected to what we learned earlier in this year. So it's not considered like a regular shoyl relationship. And since it's not considered like a regular shoyl relationship, I won't be chayiv. I, the shoyl, will not be in the chayiv. The Rabag and the Torah Tumima explain that when we have this type of situation where the owner has obligated himself to the shomer, once the owner has obligated himself to the shoyl, what he's saying is that my obligation is precedes and supersedes your obligation, and therefore the shoyl doesn't become obligated. The Tver Shloima says that those who by Musaf say Kesar, so in the Nusach of Kesar it says Misharsov Shi'alim Ze Luze. So explain what do we mean to say? We're learning now that what type of relationship are we talking about here, as we just explained, as Sfarna said, that when two people lend things to each other, that's the highest level. It represents that we're connected to each other and all the limitations don't apply. Misharsav Sha'alim Zelazeh. Who are the Misharsav Hashem? Who are the people that are considered that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servants? Sha'alim Zelazeh. People who lend to each other. People who care about each other. And when we have that kind of a world where people care about each other, then says the Tver Shloima, we continue saying in the Nusach, Mimkaimai Hu Yifem Barachmim. That becomes an opportunity to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. The Orach Chaim, however, points out that even though we're learning now in our Shir that the halacha is that that ball of imay is potter, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's only b'dinei Adam. However, b'dinei Shemayim, if somebody wants to really follow what the halacha is, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it would be appropriate that if I'm a shoyl, and even though it's ball of imay, and something happened, I should be held responsible. Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik once mentioned that that there was once a gathering of Rabbonim where there was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, his grandfather, Dor Sameach, and his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And Dor Sameach asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, "What are you learning in yeshiva now?" And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, "This sugya that we're learning a ball of imay." And he asked, Dor Sameach asked, that we're speaking about a shoyl, and we're going to learn in the Gemara that this dinner ball of imay doesn't only apply by a shoyl, it applies by other shoyrim as well. But one of the other examples of shoyrim that we've learned in our Masechta is a shoyrim aveda. If I find something that someone lost and I'm watching it, is the halacha a ball of imay by shoyrim aveda? The Or Sameach suggested that there is no exemption, a ball of imoy, by a shomer aveda. He says, because how are we learning the halacha of ball of imoy? That the two obligations came simultaneously. That the ball of are working for me, and I borrowed him. But when you're a shomer aveda, there is no, that's not the situation. And therefore, since that's not the situation, there wouldn't be a din of Shomer Aveda. Rav Chaim Brisker said that he doesn't agree. He says that the halacha will be that if at the time I picked up the Metziah, that moment he was working for me, the halacha ball of imay would apply. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said also that he believes that Shomer Aveda should be treated like a regular Shomer. Because he quoted a Gemara that we see often. He says that Rabbi Yosef said that a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socher. And one of the explanations why a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socher is because the Rachmana Shabdei. He's obligated to do what the Torah said. So it turns out that when I'm a Shomer Aveda, who am I watching it for? So he said, when the Gemara says, Rachmana Shabdei, what the Gemara means to say is that I'm a Shomer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah tells us that if I'm a Shomer, that if I find something, I have to watch it. So I become now a Shomer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu is certainly, he said, in the category of a ball of imay. There's an interesting question that the Poskim discuss, and that is a wife and a husband. And let's say there was a wife that worked for a husband. The case that I saw the Poskim discuss is where the Ginnis Shiles, the Chuvas Ginnis Rodim discusses, where a husband owns a jewelry store, and the wife works in the jewelry store, and she's a shomer on the jewelry in the store. And the question is, if she was not doing the shmira properly, is it considered that the relationship between a husband and a wife is a relationship of a ball of imay? So he wants to suggest that it's a subject of a machloikis of the Rambam and the Ravid. He said that the Ravid indeed maybe considers a husband like a baal of imoy to a wife. But the Rambam's opinion is very clearly that when we speak about a relationship between a husband and a wife, the wife is not considered in any way the property of her husband. And therefore, we don't look at it as a relationship of we don't look at it as a relationship of Baal of Imoy, and the halacha will be that she's not, that she will be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Midatani Sefer, ask the Gemara, let's learn the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Mishnah said, Vakach Shola Sapora, the Shola Balam Asachron, he first borrowed the husband or hired them, Vakach Shola Sapora. Mechlal, the Reisha Diktani, when the Reisha spoke about a case of a Shol Bala Ima Mamish, that it happened at the same time. Ask the Gemara, Ima Mamish Mimishkachsla, how's it possible for it to happen exactly at the same time? Para the Mashicha, how do you become responsible for the cow? By doing Mashicha. But how do the owner become your employee? By Amira, by you hiring him. And therefore the question is, as soon as he agreed to hire, to work for you, he becomes your employee. And the animal is only yours after you do Mashicha. So the Rishayim ask a question. We've learned in our Masechta, certainly an employee, before he has begun to work, has a right to back out. So since he has a right to back out, why is it considered that as soon as he agreed, he becomes your worker? So the Rishayim answer, that even though he has a right to back out, the halacha is that if he does so, it's inappropriate. And therefore, even though he has technically the right to back out, it's enough to make him your worker, because he's not really supposed to back out. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, Tosfos learns, that indeed the way to understand this Gemara, Tosfos says, is that the owner becomes your employee from the moment that he has begun working for you. But the animal doesn't become obligated to you until you do Mashicha, and therefore the Gemara's question is they don't happen at the same time. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Seimah the Kaima Par B'Chatzer the Shoyal. We're speaking in a case where the cow is in the Shoyal's Chatzer, and therefore there's a Kenyan Chatzer, the Loim Chasr Mashicha, and there's no requirement for Mashicha. So that's why the owner's obligation to you and the cow's obligation come simultaneously. Ibai Seimah Damele At Kufa Loi Tishal, where it was clearly stipulated, and the way I always understand this Gemara is because the Shoyal was aware of the halacha of Baal of Imai, so he wanted to take advantage of that halacha, so he clearly indicated, Damalei, he said, the Shoyal said to the owner of the cow, At Gufach Loi Tishal, you don't begin working at Shas Mashicha Paraska until I do Mashicha. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, we learned in our previous Mishnah, the Tzadik Gimel Amar Aleph, Abba Shomer Haim. There are four Shomerim. Shomer Chinam, Vashoyal, Noisosocha, Vashoycher. Shomer Chinam, we learned Nishba Lakol. He makes a Shvuah, and he won't be, all he needs to make a Shvuah, as we learned, is that he didn't, that he wasn't Pesheya, and he doesn't have this object anymore, and he wasn't Shalech Yad, and he's Potter. Vashoyal, Shalom Sokol. Shoyal is always responsibility. Shnois Sokh Vasoicha, Nishban ala Shvui Vala Mesa, they swear that there was no oinus, Umshalm Saveda Vasagneva, but they're responsible for Gneva and Aveda. Says the Gemara, Mnonimili, how do we know these halachas? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, the Torah speaks about different Shomrim. But the Braisa, it doesn't clearly indicate who's who. So says the Braisa. Parsha Rishonah, the first parsha that the Torah speaks about when it speaks about Shomrim, is Nemr B'Shem Chinam. Shniya is speaking about a Shem Sachar, and the Shlishas are speaking about a Shoyal. Says the Gemara Bishlam Shlishas B'Shoyal, that the third parsha speaking about a Shoyal, it's clear. Mefurish, it's clear. The Pasuk says, so the Torah says very clearly what that was speaking about a shoyl. The Torah is also very clear what is the halacha. Ella asked the Gemara Rishayna that you're saying the first pasha speaks about a shoyl mechinam, and the Shnia speaks about a shoyl mesachar epechana. Maybe it should be just the opposite, and the halacha will be that a shoyl mechinam will be chayv in a gneva aveda and not a shoyl mesachar. Answers the Gemara Mistabrish Shnei B'Shem Sachar Shkei Chai B'Gneiv Aveda. It makes sense to be stricter with a Shem Sachar than with a Shem Chinam, because a Shem Sachar is getting paid. And so, as we've been explaining in our Shiurim, so his level of responsibility is greater than his Chai B'Gneiv Aveda. Whereas the Shem Chinam, who's not getting paid, his level of responsibility is less. Ask the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Adrabba, I'll say that the Rishonah B'Shem Sachar, Shekem Hashem Tashlumi Geifa B'Toyim Tainas Ganav. The halacha is that if somebody is not Chayiv for Geneva V'Aveda, and he lies, and he says that there was a Geneva, so he's going to be Chayiv Keifel. So that's what the halacha is by Shem Chinam. Because the Shem Chinam is not Chayiv for Geneva V'Aveda. So by saying that there was a Geneva V'Aveda, what the Shem Chinam is saying, I'm be potter. When it turns out that he was lying, he's going to be chayiv kefil. Whereas, if somebody is chayiv b'gneva aveda, and he says there was a gneva aveda, they'll be chayiv. So there's a potential by the person who's potter for gneva aveda to pay more than by a person who's not chayiv for gneva aveda. The person who's chayiv for gneva aveda will never pay kefil. The person who is not chayiv for gneva aveda will pay kefil. Answers the Gemara, feel a hocha, and maybe therefore we should say that the Shem Sachar has that halacha. Answers the Gemara, feel a hocha, kandabalai shvua. Paying the keren always for the Gneva Aveda represents something stricter, a defa mikfeil b'shvua, than paying kefil with a shvua. Because I may never end up paying kefil, because I'd only pay kefil if I swore falsely. And as Rashi explains, the kefil has nothing to do with the shmira. The kefil has to do with the false shvua, and therefore it's considered strict to be chai for the gneva aveda. Teda, says the Gemara, tahar shoyl, which everybody agrees we treat the most strictly, kol anashlob, because the reason we treat him most strictly is because kol anashlob, he's getting all of the benefit. And Ainam Shalom El Karen, and he also would pay. There, it's very clear that he pays kefil. The Gra brings a raya that the Gemara here is saying that the first parasha is speaking about a Shem Chinam, and the second parasha is speaking about a Shem Sachar for the wording of the Torah. The first parasha says Kitin Ishal Reu Kesef Akelim. The second parasha says Kitin Ishal Reu Chamor Asha Aseh. So he says What type of objects will a Shem Chinam agree to watch? Kesef HaKelim, because it's not such a big deal to watch them. That's what the Torah says, we gave him Kesef HaKelim. A Shem Sachar who's getting paid will agree not just to do Kesef HaKelim, he'll be willing to take on the watch of a Chamor or Shor or Seh, because he's getting paid. So the fact that the Torah gave different examples of what is watched, that what the Torah uses as an example by a shemich, by the first parasha, Kesef HaKelim, and by a second parasha, Chamor Ashar Seh, is very much an indication, like the Gemara is teaching us, says the Gra, that the first parasha is speaking about a Shem Chinam, and the second parasha is speaking about a Shem Sachar. Says the Gemara, is this true, the Shoyel Kol Ano Shaloi, that he just gets benefit, for by Mizaini? Says the Gemara, he has to feed the animal. Answers the Gemara, we're speaking about a case, the Kaima Ba'agam. It's by the Agam when it has food without me. Says the Gemara, for by Natira, doesn't the animal need to be watched? So why is that considered that I'm getting all the benefit? Answers the Gemara, but not to Moser. The person who's watching this animal is anyway a watchman. So he doesn't do any. It doesn't represent any extra obligation. Vibay say loy tem kol al nashala. Don't use the word that the shoyel gets all of the benefit. Rather say elay meroiv hanashala. He gets a lot of benefit, not necessarily exclusively benefit. Vibay say ma. We're speaking about shaylas kalim. That's not just animals that are borrowed. You could borrow kalim. They don't need to be fed, and they're easy to watch. We learned in the Mishnah, Hanaisa Sochla Soicha, Nishbon al Shvura, Valashvuya, Valamesa,
Umshalmas aveda v'sagneva. Bishleim v'gneva, that they're obligated for gneva, it's very clear. The ksiv, the pasuk says, "Imgunav yigunav ma'yisham lebalav." Ella asked the Gemara, "Aveda menolan." How do we know that he's also responsible for the aveda? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya. The pasuk by the Shem Masachah says, "Imgunav yigunav ma'yisham lebalav." Only Ella gneva. So this only teaches us that this is the loch by gneva, aveda menayin. How do we know that this is also a loch by aveda? Tamalayim igunav yigunav. The fact that the Torah repeats the word that teaches us both Geneva and Aveda. So ask the Gemara, Hanich l'mandam alayim rinan dibri Torah kolosh b'nei Adam. It's common that people speak that way. So if we say that that isn't attributed to the Torah, so that's why we say Ganav Yeganav is coming to teach us about Aveda. But ask the Gemara, El l'mandam alayim rinan dibri Torah kolosh b'nei Adam. So that's why the Torah says Ganav Yeganav, Mayik l'meima, from where will we know that he's chayiv for an aveda? Answers the Gemara, Amri Barava, Bekava Chaymer. Uma Geneva. When we speak about Geneva, Shekroiva La'onis. There's an onus, because I can't watch against Ganovim. Still, he's Mishalim, Aveda Shekroiva L'Pashir. You should have watched that this shouldn't happen, like Kolshkein. Vidach, and the other man, the Amr, that says that we don't say Dibre Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. And we learn him Ganav Yiganav. So the question is, why do we need a pasuk? Why can't we just do as the Gemaras did and say Milsa Das Bekav Chaimer Tarach the Kassel of Kraw? And so the Gemara, because even though we could have reached with a Kav Chaimer, the Torah says a Kav Chaimer. Why does the Torah say a Kav Chaimer? So the B'nai Sosker explains, because the Torah is trying to teach us that the way the Torah thinks is not the way we necessarily think. So even though according to our logic, it's obvious that you should be chayiv, but that is not necessarily correct. Because it's not necessarily correct, that's why the Torah had to say it. A similar pshat I saw from the Imre Emes. A kav chaymer is based on human logic. So says the Imre Emes, we're going to have a kav chaymer, we're going to come to conclusions based on that kav chaymer. And then it turns out that it's our logic is refuted. And now we just did so many things that we shouldn't have done based on incorrect logic. That's why the Torah, Tarach v'kosel akra, the Torah told it to us explicitly that in case it's refuted, we still have the pasuk of the Torah that teaches us. Another pshat that I saw Rabbi Chanan said, that the halacha is that if we have something that's said explicitly in the Torah, or something that we learn from a drasha, or something that we learn from a kav chaymer, what it says comes first. So what would be the halacha if there was a geneva and aveda, and the aveda we only know that yichayiv based on a kav chaymer? So then the halacha would be that I'm yichayiv and the geneva first. That's why Tarach v'kosel of Kra, where the Torah wants to teach us that a Geneva and an Aveda should be treated in the same manner.